Let's read together Numbers chapter 35. In this chapter, we have the provision of 48 cities throughout the land of Israel for the Levites, including 6 cities of refuge. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give the Levites cities to dwell in from the inheritance of their possession, and you shall also give the Levites common land around the cities. They shall have the cities to dwell in, and their common land shall be for their cattle and for their herds and for all their animals. The common land of the cities which you will give the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits all around. And you shall measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, on the south side 2,000 cubits, on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. The city shall be in the middle. This shall belong to them as common land for the cities. Now among the cities which you give to the Levites, you shall appoint 6 cities of refuge, to which a manslayer may flee, and to these you shall add 42 cities. So all the cities you will give to the Levites shall be 48. These you shall give with their common land. And the cities which you will give shall be from their possession of the children of Israel. From the larger tribe you shall give many, from the smaller you shall give few. Each shall give some of its cities to the Levites, in proportion to the inheritance that each receives. Let's begin our study of Numbers 35 with some background notes. In Numbers chapter 34, we had the boundaries given of the promised land that the children of Israel were to immediately possess when they crossed the Jordan River. We also had directions given as to how the 12 tribes were to divide up the land into the various tribal territories. But remember, the tribe of Levi did not receive any territory. Now, although the Levites were not given any territory as a tribe, they were given cities to live in, including the surrounding pasture lands of these cities. Remember that when Israel conquered the land, they did not destroy the cities. They took them over and lived in them. In fact, the Lord told his people in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that he would provide these cities and houses for them when they entered the land. So Israel did not destroy the cities of Canaan when they entered the land. They took them over and lived in them. Only 3 cities were burned at the time of the conquest: Jericho, Ai, and Hetzor. So Israel took over the cities of Canaan, and here in Numbers chapter 35, the tribes are informed that when the conquest is over, they will give the Levites 48 of these cities to live in, including the surrounding pasture lands for their herds and flocks. In verse 6, we read that 6 of these Levitical cities would be designated as cities of refuge and would be havens of refuge for anyone who had killed someone unintentionally or accidentally. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Numbers 35. Doctrinal point number 1, God provided cities of rest for the Levites. God provided cities of rest for the Levites. In the wilderness, the Levites camped around the tabernacle, but now that they were entering the land, they would be given 48 cities to live in. Remember, all of the Levites didn't have to be at the tabernacle or temple all of the time. They would go home to their families and rest when they were not on duty. They worked hard when they were on duty. Furthermore, as God's servants, the Levites were to keep the people informed of God's laws. And in fact, the Levites became the official interpreters and scribes of God's law for the people. Deuteronomy 33, verse 10, says that the Levites would teach Jacob God's judgments and Israel's God's laws. Deuteronomy 33, verse 10. The 48 Levitical cities were scattered throughout the land of Israel. We see from verse 8 that the larger tribes gave more cities to the Levites than the smaller tribes. The 48 cities of the Levites are listed by name in Joshua chapter 21. The fact that the 48 cities of the Levites were scattered throughout the whole land of Israel meant that just about everyone in Israel was within 10 miles of a Levitical city. So when questions came up about the law and the word of God, answers were readily available. There would always be Levites at home resting up for their temple duties. No one could use the excuse of ignorance. The 48 Levitical cities scattered throughout Israel illustrate the way both individual Christians and evangelical churches should be today. We are to be strategically scattered throughout the land and the world as salt and light. Matthew 5:13-14. We have the answers to people's questions from the Word of God. We are to be readily available to share so that no one can plead the excuse of ignorance. Let's be like the 48 scattered Levitical cities in the land of Israel. God provided cities of rest for the Levites. Doctrinal point number two. God provided cities of refuge for the people. God provided cities of refuge for the people. Verses 9 through 34. Numbers 35, beginning now at verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. You shall appoint three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. If he pushes him out of hatred or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in enmity he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. However, if he pushes him suddenly without enmity, or throws anything at him without lying in wait, or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him, so that he dies, while he was not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And these things shall be a statute of judgment to you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against a person for the death penalty. Moreover, you shall take no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. And you shall take no ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to dwell in the land before the death of the priest. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. Therefore do not defile the land which you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel." Six of the 48 Levitical cities were called cities of refuge. They are listed by name in Joshua chapter 20. We see that the six cities of refuge were strategically placed, so that three were on the west side of the Jordan River and three were on the east side of the Jordan River. A person who had killed someone accidentally would have no problem getting to one of these cities. We see from this chapter that the cities of refuge were not to be a haven of refuge for a murderer, but only for someone presumably involved in manslaughter, until the courts decided whether the killing was intentional or not. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, an example is given of an unintentional death from an axe head accidentally flying off the handle and killing a man. Now, the Avenger of Blood here in Numbers 35 was the next of kin who had the responsibility to ensure that capital punishment was carried out for the death of his relative. But the manslayer was safe in the city of refuge as long as it was not murder. However, the manslayer could not go free from the city of refuge until the high priest then in office died. So you had better hope for an old high priest if you were in this category, or else you would be away from home for a long time. Now, why this part of the law? Well, think it through now. This required time period would certainly give time for anger and emotions in the case to subside, and it would certainly tend to make people more careful when swinging axes or hunting, for example. Now, we know from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that the city of refuge is a type of Christ as the true city of refuge for our souls. We read there that believers have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Hebrews 6, 18. Now, the fact that the high priest had to die before the manslayer could go free also seems to be part of the spiritual picture here. Even our unintentional sins had to be atoned for with the death of Christ, our high priest. And you know, there may also be a spiritual picture here of God's dealings with his people Israel. Remember, the Lord prayed from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Peter said in his sermon to the Jews in Acts 3:17 that they acted in ignorance in their rejection of their Messiah. So in that sense, the nation of Israel is being treated by God at the present time as a manslayer and not as a murderer. Israel is preserved at the present time, as it were, in a city of refuge. They are exiles from their home, waiting to return in freedom. And that time will come when our Lord returns to this earth to set up his kingdom. This transition of our Lord's present position as high priest to that of reigning as king and priest will bring freedom to the restored nation of Israel, just as the inauguration of the new high priest did for the manslayer. These spiritual truths are all part of the spiritual picture that we have here in the cities of refuge. God provided cities of refuge for the people. What about practical application from Numbers 35? Can you point a person to the true city of refuge? Can you point a person to the true city of refuge? You know, in ancient Israel, the way to a city of refuge was clearly marked. The road signs were in large letters. It was easy to show a person how to get to a city of refuge. The same is true today. The Bible clearly shows the way to Christ, the true city of refuge. The question is, can you point a person to the true city of refuge? If someone asked you, for example, to show them the way of salvation from the Bible, could you do it? Do you know enough verses and their references? Can you point a person to the true city of refuge?